Okay, Mayor, we're ready.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen? Council President Boobin Vanderhaar? Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And so we're working through some difficulties with our audio and all of that, but we do have a new system that's we'll have up and running here, hopefully by the next council meeting. That'll kind of straighten some of that out. So I appreciate it. Anybody that's zooming in, please make sure that we don't see you on the screen, so make sure you announce who you are before you speak, and we'd appreciate that. We are under the Central District Health Orders for mask wearing where it's not possible to social distance. The chairs are set up at 6 feet, so if you feel more comfortable with it, you can lower your mask as long as you're not intermingling, and then we can still be in compliance. So I appreciate everyone doing your part there. So if you would, join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item is the consent agenda. Is there any questions or anything anybody wants to pull off for discussion later? Or a motion to approve. Or if you don't like those options, you can make one up.
Council President Boobin-Vanderhaar, if there's no questions or additions, I move the consent agenda.
A second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further comment? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vanderhaar? Yes. Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. All right, on to item 6A, public hearing continued from June 16th, 2020, and tabled from July 7th, 2020, for additional public testimony and comments or suggested changes to the development agreement from the city attorney, and consideration to approve case number 19-10-AN, annexation 19-01-PUD, planned unit development, and 1906-S, free plat, and a DEA development agreement for Spring Rock subdivision. Troy is our planner, and Dave Jorgensen is the applicant. Bill, is there anything that you wanted to comment on the development agreement?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, is this on or do I need to?
Yeah, it's going to switch on there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate the opportunity to address. We had a chance to review the development agreement, and I looked it over, and I can say the applicant was very cooperative. I really only had a few comments after looking it over. It looked like it had all been worked out fine. There were some minor edits that needed to be done, some numbering issues. And also I wanted to clarify that we were sure who the trustees of these trusts were that are the parties to this agreement, so that that's correctly reflected in the development agreement, as you want to be sure you're dealing with the party that is involved in the agreement, and that those were current and that we had verification that they were registered and that these are the current and acting trustees. Mr. Bauer represents the applicant, was very cooperative in this regard, and they provided us with all of the updated affirmation of those trusts and who the trustees are, and they're updated and they're recorded, so it's of record. If you have to remember, when you're not dealing with LLCs or corporations or some entity that's registered with the Secretary of State, which trusts are not, and the trustees are the ones that have to have the authority to act on behalf of the trust, and in this instance, we're talking about a pretty significant situation with this development and property. We want to be sure that we're identifying the trustees that have the authority to act on behalf of the trust, and that they have, in fact, in the trust agreement, the authority to take action in the development agreement, which has all been verified and provided. And I believe that Troy, through the developers, worked out all of the edits that we talked about that needed to be done. And so we appreciate their cooperation, and I am comfortable with the agreement as it's now presented to the council for your consideration, and I stand for questions.
Okay, any questions for Bill? Nothing from Zoom land?
Mayor's asked if any questions from council on Zoom.
I don't.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that very much.
Can I spray here? Because I put my hands on there.
Hey, get the top of your head a little bit.
Well, it gets too shiny.
Okay. All right. Very good. So we're going to go ahead and did we have a sign-in sheet, Troy? Do you know? Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign in who would like to testify in this matter? Okay. Thank you, kind sir. All right, and so, Troy, did you have anything that you wanted to start out with, or do you want to go right to Mr. Jorgensen?
Mr. Mayor, council members, for the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. The only thing that I would add is that Bill and his team jumped on the edits for the DA. It was really great. Like he said, there were just some minor changes from when he last saw it, and Dave Jorgensen's team, and Jeffrey Bauer, they took care of all of those things. I know that the applicant has had a discussion with the CUNA Police Department in between the June 16th meeting and tonight, and I believe he would like to present the discussion that they had. In addition to that, there have been two exhibits that have been added to the packet. There was a July 1st Spring Rock letter submitted by Dave Jorgensen and his team, which is in your packet for your review. And there was also an economic development letter that was also added.
Okay.
And with that, I would stand for any questions the council has for staff.
Okay. Any questions for Troy?
Oh, I'm sorry. The final draft that that both sides agreed on is also in there for review as well. And all of those were front-loaded at the beginning of the packet.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any questions for Troy? Okay. So we'll go ahead and open this up. Dave, you're the one that has signed up, so if you want to take the stand, you may. And just state your name and address for the record, please.
Keep the mic on unless you can't hear me, or I'll keep the mask on. For the record, Dave Jorgensen with the applicant. The address is 14254 West Battenburg Drive, Boise, is my residence. First of all, Mayor and Council members, thanks for tabling from a couple weeks ago. Sorry I wasn't able to be here, but I appreciate you doing that for us.
Sure.
We did, as city attorneys addressed, as well as Troy's addressed, I think we've just pretty minor edits to the development agreement. We accepted all of them. did a quick rush to get those trustee certifications in place, and those all been submitted, and we're comfortable with all those. We did submit a letter, and I maybe before I touch on that, I'll identify the economic development letter that was provided. Answer any questions you have. I think it focused primarily on CIDs. And we've stated before, CID is not a requirement for this development to move forward, but it'll enhance or allow some of the improvements, potentially, specifically some of the public improvements, to be built quicker. But it's not at a financial risk to the city. And again, it's not a requirement for this development to get built. And so we appreciate that consideration. Happy to answer your questions on CIDs if you'd like. And then lastly, with regard to the letter we submitted, we had several items identified in the letter to try to address some of the few comments were made after our initial presentation. I did have the chance to talk to the police chief, McDaniel. I appreciated that opportunity to talk to him about 2 weeks ago. We talked about a couple of things. Our intent has always been, and it is, whether it's for police or fire or streets or schools or any of them, is we're here to work with the associations, the agencies. If there's a need, we're there to help them. My track record is such that I don't advertise it publicly, but since I'm here to maybe sell our project, I'll do it. It's not uncommon. Once a school gets open, they find a way that they need something, whether it's books or desks or something. And we don't advertise it, but we like to go to the school and say, what are your needs? And it's not because we want public attention, but rather we recognize the importance of being a community partner. Same goes for the police department, the fire, and others. And so that's our intent, is to work closely with the agencies as there's need. And that's the conversation I had with the police chief. With that, Mr. Mayor, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here. We worked really hard to get to this point. We decided to keep moving forward. We request your approval tonight, and I'll stand for any questions you may have.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Jorgensen?
Council President Buben-Vanderhaar, Council Member Christensen, Mayor called for any questions.
Are they able to hear okay, Chris?
No, they are not. I messaged both that they're not able to hear very well. We also have received a comment on social media that they're not able to hear either. So audio is not cooperative.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Bill.
With your permission, we really do need to get that fixed, or we're going to have an open meeting.
Sure. I know Chris has worked on that, but the new equipment won't be here. Hopefully we can have it by the next meeting, but there just wasn't any way to get anything done by this time. She did tweak a few things we were hoping that would help, but.
I just want to make sure even if it's hard to hear, that they are hearing what's going on. That's the main thing.
Well, that's my concern, too, is we technically don't have a quorum hearing what's happening, so.
So the comments that I have is from Kinselman or Christy Inselman, that she's having a really hard time hearing people speak with the audio and the echo. And if anyone has a question for her, to let her know in the chat room. Council President Buben-Vanderhaar is holding her laptop to her ear to try and hear. When I inquired if she could hear Troy Buchanan, I asked previously if they were able to hear. They were not clearly, and that they indicated that it was very hard to hear the mayor, and Warren Christensen agreed with that as well. So I've tried a couple things during this process and tonight, and it's not been effective.
Well, I'm not real sure what we do here, because
can we try the speaking a lot louder and see if that, that might help. As long as they can hear it, we're fine. It's just, I'm a little nervous about this if we've got council members that can't hear.
Yeah, me too.
Said, because of the open meeting law, and we don't want to mess this up with an open meeting law problem.
We were able to hear Troy Buchanan where everyone could hear in planning and zoning by having everyone wear headphones or, do a fun thing.
That goes on this end for the speakers, for them to be able to hear. That's where the echo is coming from, because I can hear the echo right here.
Well, I moved my speaker, my mic, a little bit further away, because that's where I was starting to think I was causing an echo. So, Brianna and Warren, can you hear me now if I get tight like this? Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing with my end, too. The phone is just up to my ear, and by doing that, I can still understand everything being said, but it's much better than what it was.
Mayor, will you try one more time? If I move the mic, will you try talking again, ask him again?
Okay, how about that? Does that sound any better? Okay. All right. So then, Warren and Brianna, were you able to hear the presentation from Mr. Jorgensen? Okay. All right. Are you comfortable with moving on then? Warren and Brianna?
Yes, I'm okay to continue on with the conversation. I'm ready to hear it, so.
Okay. So any of the public that's listening in right now, is there anybody there that can hear this better, or are you doing okay?
I have comments. If someone in the back doesn't have a mic, then no one can hear. They need to come to the podium, headphones for listeners helps. And then Nancy Finley just commented yes to your question.
Okay. What do you think, Bill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
I'm not going to touch the podium. Mr. Mayor and members of the council, Bill Gigray, city attorney, I think as long as we've established that the other members of the council can hear what you're saying and what's being said from the podium, because you're not taking testimony from any place other than here, and that the other people that are listening in, the members of the public, can also hear what's being said here and by members of the council and by yourself, I think we're fine. I really appreciate your taking the time to clarify this, to make sure everybody's hearing, so that the record is clear that you've taken that extra precaution. And so now my recommendation would be, if there's anyone listening in, either a council member or any person who is listening and otherwise hasn't spoke, if there's parts that they need repeated at this point, that we ought to take the time to do it. So it's clear they've heard everything that's been presented, and we can move on. And then I think we just encourage everybody to speak loudly. I used to be in the back of the class, and a teacher always recognized that I spoke too loudly. This is one time I get a chance to speak loudly, but I think we may have to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Mayor.
Yes, Rich, go ahead.
I'm having trouble hearing Brianna and Warren. Is everybody out there hearing what they're saying?
Yes.
In the very back there? Okay. Okay. They're all nodding. It looked like Cupid dolls out there. So.
So when they speak, Richard, I have to turn the speaker up for them to hear.
Okay.
We can't have it up too much, otherwise we suffer with
feedback. Okay.
All right, very good. So that is all I had signed up to testify in this matter. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right, seeing none, the question is rightfully before council. I know that I've had some major concerns myself that with the ability to supply wastewater and that type of thing to the project, because I don't know that running lines that far to our plant is reasonable, and I have a real concern with a lot of times on these projects that we want to get into these reimbursement programs, and we really don't have funding at this point to do a lot of reimbursement on these types of things. So I think that's one of my biggest concerns with this project.
Mayor,
yes.
I think Council Member Boobin-Wanderer
had a comment. Okay, go ahead. Well, again, the problem with the regional lift station, as far as I know, and this is what we've been running into lately, is that those are eligible for reimbursement. But I don't know that we're going to end up with a lot of projects between here and there, and I certainly don't want to force our hand in having to hurry up with projects between here and there so that those projects can be reimbursed. But Mr. Jorgensen, if you would like to speak to that, you surely may.
Mr. Mayor, for the record, Dave Jorgensen. If you cannot hear me, I'll take off the mask. We are not requesting reimbursement for the lift station, for the wastewater treatment plant. We're building it to the capacity of our site. We've looked at two different options for sewer. Both are allowed as options in the development agreement. However, over the last few months, we've had good discussion with the city engineer, Paul Stevens, and we've been moving that direction. That is our preferred direction. And we are not requesting reimbursement of it because it's designed for the capacity of our site. And so no reimbursement would be requested. Hope that answers your question, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. What about all the piping to get it where it needs to go and all of that? That's something that you'll be funding?
Yes, that is our cost, our responsibility.
Okay. Okay. Anything further? You did mention that you had some conversations with the police chief, but I guess did you elaborate on them and I missed it, or?
I'd be happy to elaborate further, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I shared a comment was that I had a conversation with police chief a couple weeks ago, approximately. I think it was on a Monday, 2 weeks ago. And it was a good conversation. Our commitment to them, and let me elaborate if you'd like. Happy to address any questions here as well. Specifically, as our discussion, there's coordination in just north of this area where there's service through the Ada County Sheriff's Department. The service is the general area. However, this is also through the CUNA Police Department. And one of the discussions was well, maybe it'd be nice to have, and it'd be a greater community benefit, not just for Spring Rock and CUNA Police Department, but in a building that we're looking at building for the city, would be a combination facility where it'd be a Parks Department and a Public Works facility, as well as, police chief asked, if we have a need, could we have a room or two where police officers can check in and they can have a desk space, basically, to do some of their work out in that regional area. It would not be a full police substation or anything like that, because that's not what was needed. We said, if that's what your need is, happy to serve and help in that way. So specific details were not identified, but if the need is needed at a later date, then we'll be happy to make that expansion, to make that work for the city. So that was the conversation we had. I think he might even be here if he wants to further elaborate. If I missed anything, please share. I think that captures the conversation. I'm looking for the record. He's nodding his head yes. It was a great conversation. Our goal is to not just take care of the needs today, but we recognize 5 or 10 years from now, as the project gets built, there could be further need, and that's our commitment to do that.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you. If any other questions, I really appreciate them. Happy to answer them for you.
Okay. Further questions for Dave? Mr. Jorgensen. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks again.
Warren, anything?
No, I appreciate that response.
Okay, this is Brianna. I guess I'll go ahead and kick off a little discussion. I do feel like a lot of the, you know, outstanding issues that we were talking about were addressed in the letter and since the last public hearing. I know that this is a big addition, but I also think this is the type of growth that if, you know, if I could pick any, it would be this, where we have a whole area of land, where we have a mix of the housing types, where we have commercial interspersed, where we, you know, we're dealing with road issues and all of that up front and planning it all out because we know exactly how this whole area is going to be laid out. So I think it looks like it complies with the comp plan and all the requirements in that for city code and that sort of thing. I know that they're providing, you know, significantly more open space than is required under city code, and that's great. School sites, it seems like overall this will be a net benefit. So I'm inclined to approve it, but wanted to hear if anybody else had thoughts or comments.
Okay. And then, so just taking note to also Ada County Highway District commissioners expressed some concerns. Are we comfortable in moving forward based on even the comments that the I think one of the things is that Ada County Highway District is basically policy driven. They're not land use agencies, so they don't tend to make comments beyond whatever their policies are, and so I think we need to it is the first time that Ada County Highway District has made some other comments beyond just what their policy needs are. Usually they just accept what we give them and then they are required to serve that. So has council given that some consideration? I know one of the comments was that well, actually, I don't remember if it was in this letter or not, but we've been talking with them, and one of their concerns is their general budget, their general fund budget, and being able to match impact fees collected aren't keeping up with each other, and so the concern is they're being able to build projects if we keep spreading out like we are. If we build in a general direction and they only have to work on one set of roads at a time, obviously that makes things a lot easier for them. So that's probably one of the biggest comments that I get from the public, I think, in any of these discussions is the road capacities and getting from point A to point B. And I guess my concern with what comments they made was that if we don't keep get some of these projects done, then we're going to end up landlocking ourselves just because of traffic load and that type of thing. We're going north and south and east and west, and at some point in time we're going to have to get some projects caught up so that we can even get out of town. So that's one of the concerns that I just want to make sure that we vet very well here. Yeah. Dave? Yeah, sure.
Mr. Mayor, for the record, Dave Jorgensen. I think the hearing's open still. I didn't hear a close of the public hearing. So I
we did not yet, no.
Thank you. In our letter that Councilmember Boobin Bunderhar addressed, we did have a paragraph on ACHD. And I would agree with ACHD's letter that there should be some concern as whether small, medium, or large projects, especially medium and large size projects, in today, given if there's capacity issues or constraints. That's why our project, they did approve. They approved it 4-1, in fact, because of the off-site improvements that we are committing to do. I've never done a project this large in my career development with this much off-site road improvement requirements.
Right.
This will have more than $10 million of impact fees in addition to all the off-site improvements of which we are doing. And so there was identified, there's two main routes. It's east and west along 10 Mile Creek Road. But once you get to our northwest corner, the primary route north is Cloverdale, as identified in the traffic impact study, of which we have commitments to improve some sections of Hubbard as well as portions of Cloverdale Road, along with ACHD's existing capital improvements plan. And so there was a plan put in place. And then on top of all that, Mayor and Council members, is that we will be doing additional traffic impact studies phased along the way as the development progresses. And so there were requirements now, requirements later, all of which are outlined in the ACHD staff report and conditions of approval. We agree with all those conditions of approval. So hopefully that helps address the question that was raised about general growth, because I know they're concerned not just CUNA, but the entire Treasure Valley and how to keep up with the growth and limited dollars which they have, which is why we did make that commitment to agree to those off-site road improvements. Hope that helps, Mr. Mayor.
Right. Yes. Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Mayor, just for the record, I wanted to let you know that Christy Inselman from ACHD is on Zoom, and she's indicated that she's not able to hear or understand the comments, just picked up a few ACHD words, and also that we've continued to have a couple other people indicate on Facebook that they are not able to understand what's being said.
Real quick, while we figure out what we're going to do here, I know it's in here somewhere and I just can't find it. What is the projected build-out date for this? If you were to break ground tomorrow?
Total number of homes, or what are you asking, Council?
For the whole project to be 100% done, what's the build-out final date? 5 years, 10 years? Yeah.
20.
It's a 20-year. Okay, that's what I wanted.
Thank you. And that lines up with the Compass and others. Communities in Motion 2040, it all kind of lined up nicely.
Okay, but I knew it was in here somewhere.
It's approximately 20 years, plus or minus a couple.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, Bill, what do you think? I guess I'm always concerned to have a public hearing where the public can't actually be here and that type of thing. And then when we have further that people aren't able to hear, that concerns me deeply.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Bill Gigg, Gray, city attorney, it would concern me too. I think that from my perspective, my job, of course, is to protect the interests of the city. And I want to make sure that, number one, we're in compliance with the open meeting law, and number two, that we also are complying with the hearing provisions and requirements of the Land Use Planning Act, as it is associated with all of the hearings that we're having this evening. And quite frankly, if I was sitting in Mr. Jorgensen's position, I think I might have a similar concern as well. Whatever action we've taken out of this, we want to make sure it's defendable, and also that we don't precipitate any unnecessary litigation. And I'm thinking if we're having hearing problems and there are people who are listening in, ACHD, which, of course, would be a stakeholder in a sense of this particular matter, you may want to err on the side of caution and continue this public hearing. And then have the new system in place so that we continue this record and make sure that everybody can hear and that everything that's been said and is part of the record, we don't have someone later saying, well, we didn't hear this, we weren't available, we couldn't come in, and this denied our ability to attend the public hearing. I could see those arguments being raised, whether they would be meritorious, and a court would end up in the long run saying that this is, you know, a significant legal interest on their part that could carry weight in the judicial review. I can't say for sure. All I know is it just seems like you get into thousands of dollars for every issue that's raised. And we obviously do have on the record that there are some hearing issues associated with this proceeding. I think we were doing fine till we get to where we are now in this deliberation process. Now, if we can kind of correct this, somehow the ACHD person, as well as anyone else, can be able to hear what's going on, and I'd say you probably could continue, but if this is going to get worse, then I've got a concern. Because you're going to go into deliberation and as part of the hearing and so on.
Well, that seems that's kind of my concern. It seems like we kind of get there and then we lose it. And so I think my biggest concern is that we're not hearing everything. We're only hearing portions. And so then when we ask someone, you know, it's like asking, what didn't you hear? Well, I don't know. I didn't hear it. So that's my concern. I think we're pretty confident that we can have the new system up by the August 4th meeting, and that might be the best way to do this so that we don't end up with some legal ramifications. And it's a public hearing, and it concerns me. So we also have another couple, three public hearings tonight. So
opinion would be if it's problematic in this hearing, unless it gets cleared up, it's going to be problematic in those hearings as well.
Yes.
I mean, with most of the meeting that's not public hearing, then we're really into the open meeting law area,
right.
And then you folks need to communicate, although an argument could be made, well, I've been denied the right to attend. That's what the open meeting law statute says. An argument was, I know, raised with regards to when the governor's March 13th order of proclamation, which suspended part of the open meeting law with regards to denial of attendance, when that went off on June 24th, where did that put us? My opinion was, as long as we follow the mandates which are now coming down from Central District Health, with regards to the public health and safety, and we open the room up to as many as we can accommodate following those rules, and we provide everybody an opportunity to hear what's being said through the virtual appearance process, even though they don't allow to testify because it's not a public hearing. We're in compliance with the open meeting law because they are, in a sense, in my view, attending, because we don't have a definition for attending in the open meeting law, the meeting. But if they can't hear, then we got an issue there as well. And as you know, if you get a challenge on an open meeting law question, they can come back and then claim there's a violation of the open meeting law. Okay. Then you either go through a process where you correct it and redo it again. And I've been through that process before with other jurisdictions. So this hearing thing can be a problem in both directions.
Well, we actually did pretty good when we were only doing Zoom and Facebook, but now that we've added the other element of actually having the public here, it's created an issue. So I don't see that we really have any choice. I don't know what else to do about it and still be following the guides of the law and make sure that people can hear and go forward that way. So I think that would be my recommendation, is that we're probably going to have to table public hearings tonight until we can get this thing resolved, hopefully by the August 4th meeting. I don't think we can do any more public hearings here tonight from what we're experiencing so far.
Yes, and I would, Mr. Mayor, with your permission, Bill Gigray again, City Attorney, I would commend the clerk. Advising you and the council with regards to those hearing problems. That's her job. And
yeah.
I think she does a good job. And I think it's important that you're aware of that. And it's also important that the applicant is aware of it, as well as everyone who's in attendance here.
Okay. Thank you. Well, counsel, I guess that would be then up to you to have a motion to table that. I mean, that would be my recommendation. I don't know what else we're going to do to satisfy the public hearing requirements when we have people that are saying they can't hear. So,
this is Brianna. I agree with that course of action. Are we interested in receiving additional testimony next time? I know there was some discussion about EPT, but we didn't right here. So, would you like to go ahead and read?
Mr. Mayor, with your permission, Bill Gate, Gray City
yes.
Attorney, my recommendation is you have not moved to close the receipt of testimony and comments, so my recommendation is you ought to leave this open, and then if somebody wasn't able to hear, they can comment at the continued hearing where they will be able to hear. You will give Mr. Jorgensen and the applicant a chance maybe to repeat any information that they've provided. So it's really clear that everyone involved, the public, as well as the members of the council and the mayor and the everyone else, have an opportunity to hear what's being said. I think that's a safe play.
Okay. And then also, would it be reasonable to make sure that we make note of so minutes of what's been discussed that people didn't hear? Can be part of the record for the next meeting. That way we know we've covered what we've already covered. It's in the minutes, and that way people did get a chance to hear because now they can read it. I think that would clear that up so that we don't have that concern.
I think that's a good idea, Mr. Mayor. Bill Gigray, City Attorney. In fact, we could request that it be transcribed and then put as part of the packet and available for people to see before that hearing's continued, like when it comes out in the packet, and then that transcript could be provided to you as council member as for the meeting. It would be available for the applicant, and it would be available for anyone else, as is typically announced when we send out the agenda notices and whatever. So I think that's a good idea.
And our deputy clerk really likes doing minutes.
Is my back to the clerk? Am I in trouble or not?
No, this is the deputy clerk.
Yeah, oh, okay.
She's not here, so we can talk about her. Okay. Wendy, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, we haven't had any issues, but we set it up differently than the council does in the planning and zoning meetings, and you can hear everyone, and we haven't had any problems with them hearing us online. I don't know if...
Well, the last one that I saw on Facebook, people were saying they couldn't hear. So
that was only until we changed it.
Oh, okay.
We've got it figured out now.
Okay.
It's an art.
All right. Well, I think that's a safe play here until we get the new system set up. And
so shipping of the, according to our people that handle the system in here, the vendor indicated they're shipping out on the 28th. I asked if it would be set up by August 4th meeting. They said they thought it would be. And if anything changes, I will definitely get you updated, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion on that? Brianna, would you?
Mayor,
yes,
you
Rich
leave.
Cardoza, go ahead.
Are we still having problems, or are you still getting messages that they can't hear?
ACHD said that she couldn't hear.
Right, that's correct. I got the message from ACHD that they couldn't hear, and then I got some messages that say they can hear, some say they can't. Some are asking if we can have captions. Somebody referring to that Zoom, all Zoom works well, so there are people that haven't been able to hear, including ACHD, and I think it's not as
okay.
Tr- transparent maybe as we would like it to be this go around.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
Okay, Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar, would you be willing to make that motion?
Yes, I would. I move we continue the public hearing to our meeting on August 4th. Sorry, consideration to approve case number 1910AN, 1901PUD, and 1906F, and a development agreement for Spring Rock subdivision and the associated public hearing. I move we continue those until August 4th.
I'll second.
Okay, very good. We have a motion and a second. I keep looking to see if somebody else is talking, then I realize that's me. So, and so the motion is that we're going to continue the public hearing, leave it open for testimony, and then the council member had listed all the case numbers listed on the public hearing. So. We are continuing item 6A until the August 4th, 2020 meeting, when hopefully we will have our new system in place and everyone can hear. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? And that motion carries.
Mayor?
Yes.
I've got a question. Should we table the entire city council meeting if people can't hear? Should all the issues be tabled?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, with your permission, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Bill Gatebray, city attorney. My preference would be that the other public hearings, which you have noticed to start this evening, that you would open those hearings and then you would continue them, so that you don't have to re-advertise them. It's up to you. You could decide to table to not or to end the meeting. My recommendation in that instance would be that you re-advertise the new date of those hearings, because you advertised that you're going to open those hearings tonight.
Mayor?
Yes.
Bill, my question is, with the open meeting law, since they can't hear, are we?
It's
actually
problematic. There's no question about it.
Yes.
And the safe play there would be that you would, if you end the meeting because we got a hearing problem in open meeting law, that you would at least at this point direct staff, I would renotice those hearings. Not that I would want them to have to do that, but I think as the safe play that we would, and then you'd set a date and time. And then the question is, will we have enough time to renotice those hearings to do those on the 4th? I don't know that you would. You might have to run those later, since they haven't been opened.
Yeah, I don't think we would have proper time to have them by the 4th and have them republished.
I feel since it's a public meeting, it should be attainable to everybody listening.
That's correct. That's the problem with virtual appearance. And in my view, the people can attend your meetings under the open meeting law virtually. I think we have the right to do that under these circumstances. But if they can't hear, then the question is it an open meeting? Are they able to? And the main point of the open meeting law is that they're able to hear what's going on. That would be, again, the safe play in those two as well.
Okay.
So just open them and then table them.
Well, I think, Mr. Mayor, with your permission, Member of the Council, and Councilman Cardoza has a point. You know, no, if we got hearing problems out there now.
You quit speaking loud.
I think that probably continuing them to a time
Well, and quite frankly, then would be action. I think you would just have to end a meeting and direct that they be re-noticed. And that would be probably the second meeting in August, which I think would give enough time. You could ask the staff with regards to what they think would be enough time for them to do that. But I don't know what else you do.
Yeah, the second meeting would be fine. I don't think we have anything that's... I'm sure that Spring Rock was probably the only one that we really wanted to get through tonight that had to be done, that we can't. The area of city impact, I don't think that's an emergency to get done very quickly. And then the other one was an ordinance for signage and that type of thing. And do we need to have this public hearing on the status of the CDBG funding grant? Is there a time on that?
I'll defer to staff on that one. I don't know. It wasn't set for a hearing, was it? Lisa can answer that question.
Yeah, sometimes with grant funding, you have to do things by a certain timeline, so...
Council, for the record, Lisa Bachman, JUB Engineers. Actually, it needs to be done before construction is complete, and I know we'll be getting close by the August 17th. So I don't know if it's possible for staff to write on Zoom about the continuation of each one, and then also on Facebook, and that could be a way to notify and not have to re-advertise. I'll just throw that out there as an idea.
I would defer to staff as to whether that can be done.
Okay.
If I understand your question, this is Chris Ingles for the record. If I understand your question, you're asking if I can put comment on the meeting that is being Facebook Live right now, saying that each of these public hearings are being tabled until August 4th, and that would meet the publication obligation?
It would be an approach, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me, Bill G. Gray, City Attorney.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'm going to put my conservative hat on from a legal standpoint, not a political.
Okay.
If someone makes an argument that, well, yeah, you put something on there, but we still couldn't hear what was going on and we were denied attendance at a public meeting, then you've got an argument. If they want to challenge whether or not there's an open meeting law violation, that's one side. Their remedy is to go to court. I think it's within 180 days and file an action trying to overturn the action or go to the prosecuting attorney, claim there's a violation. They'd notify you that there is, and you'd decide whether you made a violation or not. That's the open meeting law side. The public hearing law side depends on each of these. We're under the Local Land Use Planning Act with the land use matters. Then it'd be a judicial review where they would claim there's a denial of due process because they haven't had an opportunity to hear that testimony that's being presented, and then the question would be whether that'd be a significant enough issue that the court would overturn it. I don't, who knows? It just invites issues.
So I think on the particularly on item 6D, it's a very short and sweet sentence in there. It just says public hearing in the status of the CDBG grant fund activities. I think that one would be pretty easy to put out and wouldn't create a lot of confusion. I don't think that we're going to get a lot of issue with that one. Then we could still have that one at least on the August 4th meeting, and then we can still meet that requirement for the grant funding. If we try to do a lot of these and confuse the issue, it's going to be hard for people to say that they got notice of that. I think I can understand the concern on the other ones that are longer, but That one seems pretty short and cut and dry, and I don't think we would have any issue with that one.
Yeah, well, the evidence and the circumstances
sure.
are what they are, and I think you've got to decide and exercise your discretion and your authority here as to what to do.
Yeah, and I think the issue with that is the timeline, because, like Lisa said, if we're done by the 17th and our next meeting is the 18th, that's going to be a problem. So we about have to get that one through. So I think that one's worth taking a chance on, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of that's just meeting a requirement, and it's basically just giving an update on the status. So I think that one is reasonable and doesn't create a lot of issue. I don't know. Chris, what do you think? Or Wendy, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was wondering about considering a special meeting, because if we don't, and I've gotten yelled at before, we're going to have 5 to 6 public hearings, and that's just P&Z on the next one.
We don't have any equipment to do a special meeting between now and August 4th.
However, I can guarantee that we can get this set up correctly.
What is your option?
Or not correctly, it's differently.
What is that option?
I would have to have Jace come in and explain the whole thing, but we've been able to do it for.
I don't have equipment until August 4th is my best hope, but certainly at council and mayor's discretion.
Well, I think if we do everything on the August 4th meeting, we'll just set up a barbecue out back.
And
we'll plan on spending the night. Everybody can bring sleeping bags and tents.
Then we violate the after dark in the park.
we'll have a discussion with the police chief on that.
They're supplying the meat.
All right. So then I guess my recommendation would be then that we table item 6B and 6C, I guess we don't really need to table those. We'll just re-advertise them, right? So we'll be tabling item 6D, the public hearing on the status of the CBDG-funded grant activities, until the August 4th meeting, and then let's do our best to type in comment on the meeting for tonight so that one's advertised. I don't think we'll get a lot of problem with that one. So, but the rest of them, do we need to do any action on the other two then, or just postpone them for re-advertisement?
Mr. Mayor, Member of the Council, I think at this point you probably would entertain a motion that due to the virtual appearance problems that are being experienced in this meeting, that there would be a motion to end the meeting, and in that regard, you've already make sure we take action continuing the hearing that is for tonight, so that we're not re-advertising that, and then I think you would direct staff with regards to the other hearings that can't be heard this evening that they re-advertise those for a date future, and then you could allow that for the discretion. I think the staff can set those hearings they have before when they come to you and put on the agenda, so that would be within their authority to do that. I think they ought to be re-advertised since we're in this situation. And then if you decide you want to move forward with the one grant situation that Lisa talked about, then go ahead and proceed, and it'll be on your agenda.
Okay. And then just
continue it just to cover that base.
Okay. And then just at the very end here, I need to give council a couple of quick updates that I can do loudly, so hopefully people can hear me, but. So if we can make a motion, Councilmember Boeven-Vonderhaar, did any of that make sense? Did you hear that okay?
I think so. So am I moving we continue the public hearing for 60, or does that need to be open first, or we're just tabling it?
Item 6D, then, we would table until the August 8th meeting, or August 4th meeting, I'm sorry. But the rest of the meeting would be canceled and everything else would be re-advertised.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries. All right, and then...
Mr. Mayor, for the record, Troy Buchanan, Planning and Zoning Department. I just wanted to clarify because just want to make sure that we're on the right side of right. Since some of these are being re-advertised, Spring Rock is not one of those, right? Spring Rock is continued until August 4th, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so no re-advertising is necessary.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. Appreciate
it. Thank you. All right, and then for further consideration, since we are having audio difficulties, the rest of the meeting will be added on the agenda for the remainder of the meetings. Item 7A needed to be removed anyway. That one was going to be dropped. So that leaves 7B and 8. And then those items will just be carried on to the August 4th meeting because they're not public hearings. So we'll add those to August 4th. And then I just wanted to give a quick update to council. This question's been coming up a lot. I did give an update on it last time, but so the governor's property tax proposal, again, the city of CUNA did not participate in that program because we did not qualify. It's for public safety, and we have a fire district that takes care of fire and EMS, and then we contract through Ada County for police services, so we don't provide direct payroll to those officers. So that leaves us out of the ability to participate in those programs. And but with the budget proposal that we've been talking about, we haven't been including the 3%. That's what that's tied to. So if council doesn't take the 3%, then the result would be the same for the taxpayers as far as their property taxes go. I don't know... This thing has kind of been being misrepresented from what I've seen. They're talking about there's a possibility of a 10 to 20% tax savings on people's property taxes. There is just no feasible way that that's even possible. So with our not taking our 3%, that's the maximum that people are going to save here. So we are meeting that. We are going to save people property tax money, even though we're not participating in that program. They put that list out. CUNA's not on that list. We were offered to be, they said that we could put our name on the list because Ada County was going to participate, but to me that felt a little deceptive because in the end we're not participating and our name wouldn't be on that list. So I didn't think it was proper to deceive the public and say we're participating in something that we don't qualify for. So that's why I chose not to put our name on there. The other item is that Councilmember Buben Vanderhaar and I met with Ada County Commissioners. They are requesting, they were just letting us know that they were going to begin the stages of doing a study for impact fees that met for the coroner's office and things like that that they're having issues keeping up with on their projects. And their initial guess was that it was going to be somewhere around 200 and, I believe it was $230. Councilmember Buben von der Harken, correct me if I'm wrong with that, but that number's not going to be set until they actually get through their study and come back to council later. So,
Mr. Mayor, is that only going to be impact fees on funeral homes?
No, there was other things on that list, but both basically we just met with them to they were wanting to know if we would absolutely say no or if we would entertain the idea, and we relayed to them that we've been for the most part pretty receptive to impact fees so that growth kind of does as much helping to pay for itself as possible. So they just wanted to give us a heads up so that we weren't shocked with them coming down with something later. So that was the two updates that I had. I don't know if Councilmember Buben von der Haar, if there's any that you want to add to that or not, but all right. Thank you. And did anybody else have anything they wanted to announce? I will also say that it is certainly a blessing to live in this community as opposed to some of the others with the things that are going on in the world. Our folks that live in this community have been, for the most part, pretty respectful and doing the best they can with things. So, go CUNA strong. And that's all I have for tonight. So meeting is adjourned. Thank you.